The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here, fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Hey, we heard that our buddy from Swamp People, Troy Landry, was in Frederick last night at the Keys game. Yeah, a little celebration out there called Fredneck Night. Fredneck Night, that's what they call it. I didn't name it. Town of Frederick did. So here's to our buddy, Troy Landry.
That's a big one.
The longer he fights, the greater the risk the gator will get off the line.
Watch it!
He aims for the only place a gator is vulnerable, a tiny kill spot at the back of the head.
Whoa, that's a shooter. That's a shooter. You saw that? Oh, yeah, that's a pussy. Wow. You need to shoot that job before you get off? Sure, man, shoot it. If you don't shoot him in that right spot, it just fishes him off. But you don't get him good the first shot. You're in trouble. You're in for a ride. Shoot him again. Shoot! He might get away. Woo! We got him next time. Whoa!
The son of a b***h is still alive.
Shoot him again! Oh, watch it! Shoot! Shoot! Damn it, you gotta shoot him triple.
There we go. All right, Steve Doctor. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Hope you enjoyed that a little bit. But that's our buddy Troy Landry from Louisiana doing the swamp people thing. Shoot them. So we don't shoot them in Ocean City, though, do we? We catch them, don't we?
That's right.
Yeah, man. So you've been in Ocean City as a biologist for a long time.
Yeah, 23 years now.
Yeah, and you live in Ocean City year-round.
Right, I live right downtown next to the inlet.
Wow, cool. Very cool. So I'll call you when I need a place to stay down there.
Okay.
No. Just kidding there, Steve. I know it's the first time with the Outdoors and Radio Show, but we're just going to have a conversation a little bit. So you live right near the bridge, and when a lot of people go to Ocean City, they're always looking for a place to fish. You know, they might be staying in a hotel or a condo, and they'll go to one of the local tackle shops, and sometimes there's not a lot of help. You know what I mean? Sometimes there is, but sometimes they're not, and a lot of times they get sent to the Route 50 bridge. And you seem to be familiar with the area, so tell me about the bridge. If I want to come to Ocean City, wherever I'm staying, I have my fishing tackle in my back in the back of the car or truck, and I want to go fishing while I'm here, and some tackle shop tells me, go fish the bridge, what do I need to do?
Well, there's two options you can fish the rocks near the inlet, or there's on 4th Street, the free fishing area from 2nd to 4th Street, and then you got the bridge, too. Well, the bridge has got a lot of options. I mean, you can do two or three things at the same time. Lately, we've had a good shad run, so... But usually the best time to fish a bridge is like the last half hour of the incoming or the first half hour of the outcoming tide. And if you want to fish for stripers, you use like a swim shad. Or if you want to use shad, you use shad darts. Or you can actually bottom fish as well with standard bottom fishing rig and catch variety species that way.
Okay, well, now a lot of people used to go to Ocean City and fish the bridge for the sea trout. Are they still there?
No sea trout.
What about flounder?
There are flounder,
so you can catch flounder
off
the bridge.
Flounder, you fish with like a bobber type thing. You let the a lot of, like, braid on your rod. You use, like, a standing bottom rod, and then you just put a, like, they use, like, about a 3 to 5 inch bobber with two droppers off of it, and they let it out slowly, and drifts out, and they catch flounder that way.
So that goes, you know, wherever the tide takes it, basically?
Exactly.
All right. And now you got to watch the bobber, and when the bobber goes under, just like fishing for bluegills or anything else, do you set the hook, or is the flounder pretty much hooked at that point?
You set the hook, but like you said, it's pretty much hooked at that point.
Right. Gotcha. And what's the best bait for this rig for flounder?
Any kind of strip bait, like a shiner or a strip of squid or something.
Yeah, or a combination.
Yep.
Piece of each
is my favorite.
Piece of each. An Ocean City flounder sandwich, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a strip of squid and a live minnow. All right. Well, now on the bridge. I mean, it's a long bridge. So where do I fish if I'm fishing off the bridge?
Well, my favorite place to fish, like for stripers, is on either side of the span. And then if you want to bottom fish, like from here on out, you'll catch like sheep's head and red drum, black drum. It's on either side of the span as well.
On either side of the span. Now, tell me what you're talking about on either end of the span and
draw span. You know, like,
oh, there's a draw span on the bridge. Okay, the root foot to bridge.
Flounder fishing is over towards the west side more.
Okay. Where the old fishing pier, where the old Shantytown pier used to be.
That's right.
Yeah, I fished that inlet for flounder. Yep. Okay. So you go on the western side of the bridge, you fish off the bridge. How do you get the fish up? How do you get the fish landed if you hook it off that bridge?
Well, I use like 40-pound braid with a 40-pound leader.
Okay.
So you can actually crank it up. You kind of like throw it towards the sky and crank on it,
uh-huh.
And then also if it's over like 8 pounds, you got to use a bridge net, which is like a big hoop that's 2 to 3 foot in diameter with a rope attached to it.
Okay, and you lower the bridge net down, you slide the fish into the bridge net, you lower the net down on a rope, and you pull it back up. And I'm sure that the tackle shops and so forth have these bridge nets available down there.
Yeah, it's not quite that easy though. You got to throw the net into the current. You can't just like lower it down because the current pulls it underneath the bridge.
Pull it right under the bridge. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to throw it. You got to kind of swing the net into the current and then have it scoop up underneath the fish.
And all this while you're trying to fight a fish that's trying to get away.
Yeah, I've lost some monsters up there, like messing with the bridge net. One time last fall, I had a fish maybe 40 pounds on.
Striped bass?
Yeah, and it was getting pulled underneath the bridge. I had it hanging there with its mouth open, and I couldn't get my bridge net untied. I was like, when I finally got it untied, the line had worn off, dragging on the bridge.
On the bridge.
Yeah, I was heartbroken.
I guess so, with a 40-pound striped bass.
Another trick is if you bring the bridge net, you're not going to catch anything big.
Right, I got that. Yeah.
If you don't bring the bridge net, you don't have any problem.
Yeah. Does anybody use a gaff on a rope for bigger fish? No?
I don't think it would work. It's just too far.
Too far. Okay.
Yeah.
So you really got to adapt your fishing style to the bridge. And I guess the first thing I would do if I'm newbie to doing that, I'd go out there when I see people out there and watch what they're doing and see who's successful and who's not, and see how they're
That's
doing
exactly
it.
Exactly how you do that.
And imitate.
Go out there and watch what people are doing, and they're more than willing to talk to you and help you. I mean, they're just, because they're kind of bored up there anyways, a lot of times they're really friendly up there.
Yeah. And you got a bunch of regulars too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, that's good.
That fish like high tide, whatever time of day it is, 24 hours a day, they'll be up there. You go across the bridge in the middle of the night, you'll see them up there.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So you go talk to the regulars, and they're more than willing to share their information. Just don't crowd them out, right?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Yeah, just be. Yeah, got to use a little proper fishing etiquette when it comes to that. I know that some people exclusively fish at night on the tide, and they have a particular light that they like to stand under because it tends to attract the bait fish.
Yeah, well, the thing about that bridge is there's like pilings and stuff in different spots and everything. You kind of got to map the place out. The first couple times you're going to go up there, you're going to lose a lot of tackle.
Okay.
Because there's hangs up there and stuff, but the fish actually, like, they they congregate on those hangs. So.
Well, yeah, they would relate to the cover, of course.
Yeah, so you got to kind of, you know, give and take. You're going to lose a little bit of tackle the first times, a couple times you go up there. But you'll learn where stuff is and mm-hmm. where the fish are.
Got it.
They're definitely preferred spots up there. I mean, for striper fishing, I have right next to the turnstile for the thing that blocks you off when you go to the bridge is my favorite spot. There's like a honey hole right there.
Okay.
There's always stripers in it.
Always stripers. And of course, what are the limits down there on the coast as far as the size limit of a striped bass?
I think we're at like 28 to 38 and then over 43.
So there's a coastal slot limit on that.
Yeah, it's two fish.
Okay, got it. And two fish, and then it's a slot limit. I'd say to our listeners for sure to check those regulations because they're different on the coast than they are in the bay. Correct?
That's right.
Yep, I got it. So, all right. Well, we've talked a little bit about the bridge. So you got flounder available, and what's the size limit on the flounder in Ocean City?
It's four fish at 16.
16 inches. They have to be 16 inches to keep, and you're allowed four.
That's correct.
Okay. So on the bridge, find a spot. Talk to the locals. Talk to the experts down there, or go on the west side. Usually, it's a little lower on that. I mean, you know, it's a bridge, obviously, but you know,
yeah, definitely lower on the west side.
Yeah, that's kind of why I liked it. And you get off of there, and that used to be the old Shantytown Fishing Pier. And I remember when the schools of little Taylor Blues would come ripping through there at night, and you couldn't catch anything but those little 10-inch bluefish because they'd eat everything when you're trying to fish.
Yeah, they still come through right around dusk. You'll see the birds working, and that'll be small blues and shad.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested. The hickory shad, they're making their exit run. Is that correct? They're not coming in to spawn. They're leaving.
They hang out all summer long.
Really?
Yep. Those are the same fish, I think, that spawn up in the rivers up in the Chesapeake in the spring.
Yeah.
And then they'll hang out, like, they'll hang out all summer long from, like, the end of the shad run till, like, September.
Really?
Yep. Huh.
Are there any places to access those from those shad from land?
From the bridge.
I mean, other than the bridge.
From the inlet.
You can get
it. It seems like you get them up until, you know, through June, and then it's pretty much all the bridge. Or, a lot of people fish from boats, too.
Yeah. Well, they're fun to catch, and I guess they're just fun to catch. That's about all you can do with them. Catch them and turn them back. Oh, I know. I love them. Light tackle.
I think that's why the stripers are hanging in there. I think they're eating those shad.
Really? That's very possible.
Yeah.
Very possible. That's great. All right. Well, Steve, we're going to take a break here, a little commercial break, and we'll ask you to hang with us. So we'll lock you in so that you do. And if anybody has any questions on Ocean City fishing, we're going to cover a lot of it. We just hit the bridge here for the first segment, but we'll go from the bridge to inshore to offshore and beyond. And with Steve Doctor, biologist from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service from Ocean City. And we'll be right back after we have this short commercial break. So it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. They're located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit number 9. When you go there, you're going to be surprised. It's not a big place. It's not a giant place. But the amount of stuff that's inside is packed to the gills. They've got when you walk in, on the left-hand side is the counter, and that's where you get your bait, and that's where the minnow tanks are and all that stuff. And then the right is, you know, your soda cooler. And then there's some archery tackle and accessories, and then you keep walking back, and there's a knife counter on the left. And the coin system there to get your licenses and a counter, and the counter's got scopes and range finders in it. And now you'll start seeing some of the firearms on the right-hand side. And then you go to the back of the store. There's firearms across the back and another little shelf there with firearms on it. And then the handgun case is there, of course. You go around the island in the middle, and on the left-hand side of that island is a lot of fishing tackle. A lot of plastics and saltwater baits are there. You go around there, you come back the other side, And coming back towards the front of the store on your left, there's some striped bass lures and some shad and some umbrellas and parachutes and things like that. On the right-hand side, you've got gun cases and some Browning clothing and things like that. You keep coming back, you're going to find the rod racks. You're going to find the repair counter. You're going to find the reel counter, and you get it back up to the front counter, of course. And then, but what you don't see behind the scenes is all the rod and reel repair that they do, the replacement of the guides and the eyes, and there's a line machine there. You'll see that, and you can replace your line. In the back of the shop, and behind the wall, is the gunsmithing shop. They do scope mounting and gun cleaning and gun repairs and bore sighting there. And, you know, when you walk in, it just gives you that comfortable feeling of being in an all-purpose fishing, hunting, the crabbing supplies are right there in the middle, too. I forgot about that. The crab traps are stacked up in the baskets, and the steamers are up behind the counter. And, I mean, it's a real nice, homey place to visit. And that's Clyde Sports Shop. I just kind of give you a little feel for the store, a little virtual tour. Let your mind go as you're walking through the store. And, you know, there you are. Everything for fishing, hunting, firearms for hunting and home protection and self-protection as well. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit Number 9, 410-242-6108. And they have a 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-3474, 247-FISH. Time to book your dove hunt with Upper Bay Gun Club. Hunt over sunflowers on great farms loaded with doves. Dove Hunt runs $150 per person and includes lunch. Hurry, the early dates are filling up fast and space is limited. Hunt deer, waterfowl, and turkeys on private farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership like I did, or call about guided day hunts or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Call Tom at 443-309-3788. For the best hunting of your life, call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Start your day with Sean and Frank. Maryland's Wake Up Call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your hands start shaking. Your heart gets to pumping. Your knees get to knocking. And your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? But fever, gonna get you, boy. But fever, have you praying to the Lord. That rap, that grunt, that stare, that stomp will make you a believer.
All right, we're back with Steve Doctor. Do I need to hit that button? I thought we had him locked in. Oh, all right, there we go. All right, now, Steve, we're back with you. Steve Doctor, yep. For a biologist, Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service, out of Ocean City, Maryland. You live there. So we did the bridge. Let's talk a little bit about the inshore fishing, the back bays and that type of thing. You mentioned that there's a free fishing area there on 4th Street. Is it a pier? Is it a jetty? What is it?
So it's a bulkhead, and it's from 2nd to 4th Street. And the trick to fishing that place is most people, like, when they try to fish it, they cast out and they get snagged right away.
Right.
You got to fish it straight up and down. You use, like, a 1 to 2 ounce sinker.
Okay.
And you just, it's a really good spot for fishing flounder, because fish, like anything else, run along walls.
So right.
They run along that wall, and so you just fish like a minnow, like, or a spot, and you just fish it straight down, and some huge flounder come off of there every year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where you get the biggest fish in the bay, is along that wall.
Okay.
And it hasn't picked up yet. Usually, like, June 1st is when the flounder picks up there. But it hasn't really, the bay hasn't really turned on yet.
It's kind of cold. It was kind of cold all summer, or all spring, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's warm enough now. They should be there, but they just aren't there yet.
Right.
They've done better up to the north and to the south, which they usually do before us, but
right.
It's not turned on yet.
Okay.
And also, that's a good tautog fishing spot in the fall.
Too. I was going to ask you about tautog and sheep's head right there from sand fleas or green crab or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. How do you hook a sand flea?
I go through the belly and out through the shell.
Mm-hmm. More than one or just one on the hook?
I try all different.
Yeah. Circle hook or long shank, or what do you use?
No, you don't want to use circle hook for tongue.
Okay.
It just does not work. I've proven that myself before.
They've got what's called a blackfish rig or a blackfish hook. Is that what you would go with? Do you just tie a top and bottom rig and let her go?
I just do a top and bottom rig, but the better mates, they tie a really intricate little rig there. But you definitely keep the lower hook closer to the sinker than you do for a regular top and bottom rig.
Mm-hmm. So you'd basically tie your own out of monofilament and figure out how to do that.
Yeah, I just do three loops, one end loop and two loops above it. I tie my own rigs.
You tie your own rigs. So then you put the hook on the loop, or do you use a leader?
I put the hook on the loop.
So explain this very simply. You tie a surgeon's loop in the end of your line.
Yeah, just a regular loop at the end of the line, about 3-inch loop, and then 2 4-inch loops up above it.
Okay. And the 3-inch loop is where you put your weight.
Yes.
And then your 4-inch loop, you run through the eye of your hook, around the bend of the hook and back. You put
the double line through the end of the
right
through the eye of the hook, and then you loop that around the whole hook.
Right, around the bend of the hook, and bring it back, right. and then you're attached, ready to go.
Yeah.
So it's a very simple monofilament. Do you use braid or mono?
For the leader, you have to use mono, because you want to be able to break it off if you have to.
If you get stuck, okay. So and then now, when you attach your mono to your braid, you use a swivel?
No, I use two loops.
Oh, so you just loop and loop. Okay, so there's no hardware at all. It's looped. It's line to line, and then this. How long is the overall rig? I mean, how long is your leader? 2 feet?
3 foot.
3 foot leader, 3-inch loop at the end. You put your double line through the eye of your weight. Do you use a particular weight? Do you use a pyramid sinker? Do you use a bass casting with a swivel, or do you use just a plain old bank sinker?
A bank sinker.
Yep, plain old bank sinker, 1 to 2 ounces depending on the tide, and drop it right down along the edge of the wall.
Yeah, right.
And then you wait for the tog to bite, and once you feel the bite, he's already gone.
Tog are definitely tough.
Yeah, so you basically...
Sometimes they're suicidal, and then other days they'll just nibble away.
Yeah, I got it. Some days you can just hammer them, and other days, you know, you've got to almost have ESPN to figure out when they're going to bite, right?
Yeah, and there's some rod holders along that bulkhead on the left side already.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, we'll keep that in mind because we've got a few connections in Ocean City where we can stay, and that sounds like a real easy place to fish, that's for sure.
Yeah, when it's right, it's good. I mean, there was one day, I guess in June last year, I had 3 drops in a row. I caught 3 flounder over 20 inches right there.
Wow. Wow. That's nice.
And I didn't even drop down the fourth time. I just went home.
I will. Don't ruin a perfect streak, right?
Yeah, and I had ridden my bicycle over there, so I was like riding along with a bite with the flounder slapping along, trying to keep them out of my spokes. It was quite a sight.
You need a basket. Anyway,
yeah.
Well, that's cool, okay, because most people, they'll go down, if they have a boat, they'll go to those back bays and they'll drift the flounder, you know, with a basic top and bottom rig or flounder rig or whatever. I kind of like the flounder pounders myself when I'm drifting for flounder. You know, the pre-tied little hair, the little bit of hair tied on the hook and some of the flashy spinners and that kind of stuff. I kind of like those, but that's just me. I've caught them on plain top and bottom rigs just like everybody else, but... you know, when I'm drifting, I really like those kind of pre-tied flounder pounders, and I guess they're effective. So, do you ever use them?
I use that top and bottom rig for on the headboat and the bay. I use it for everything.
Everything. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it till it is, right?
Well, every now and then I'll flip a bucktail. If I'm offshore and there's a lot of current, I'll put a bucktail on those 2 loops.
Okay.
So it's adaptable.
That's there.
Or a gotcha head with a white twister tail.
Yeah.
That works just as good as a bucktail.
I got it. Okay.
And everything hits that, too. You know, and then I'll put my sweetener on there. I'll put my squid and my flounder stripper minnow right on that bucktail.
A lot, you know, there's always a sweetener. When we used to fish for those big tide runner trout in the Honga River with the Goody family, you put 1.5 ounce bucktail over there with a red or purple plastic worm on it, and there's always a piece of peeler crab as a sweetener, no question about that. So, all right, so we've got the flounder covered for the most part, the bulkhead, the bridge. Let's go a little bit inshore. Do you do any inshore fishing there, Steve, from a boat?
Yeah, I go on the headboats exclusively for flounder and sea bass, and the sea bass are usually good as soon as it opens until, you know, through the summer, but it definitely slacks off in the midsummer, and then about the end of July, the flounder will move onto those near shore reefs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, you use the same rig, except you bump your sinker up to like 6 or 8 ounces.
Right.
And, The headboat will swing back and forth, so you want to try to get a rear spot if you can, and you know, just put the bucktail on there. If there's a lot of current, if there's no current, you just want it plain, nothing on it, and put the same strips on there, and then you get some beautiful flounder offshore.
Okay, all right, and so people don't know that they think that flounder is a close in species, but not necessarily. I mean, those flounder are. They're top-tier predators, pretty much, and they cruise those wrecks just like everything else. I mean, the tautog hide in the wrecks, and the sea bass do as well, but those flounder, they're cruising the outside of that wreck looking for bait fish just like everything else. People don't understand how they look goofy, you know, the flounder, but, buddy, when you see them swimming out in the water, they're hunters. They're voracious, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And the bigger ones are even more aggressive. And you know, they catch they're very adaptable to their cover. I mean, I've heard of guys fishing them out of like Montauk and catching those big doormats, you know, in 50, 60 feet of water, and that's, you know, that's almost unheard of here. But those inshore wrecks in Ocean City tend to do well for tautog and black sea bass and flounder, as you said, at certain times of the year, right?
Yeah, I mean, the flounder's overshadowed everything the last couple of years. They've done really well.
I got
it. Up on one side of the wreck, you know, it's really cool. If you go to, like, an aquarium, the one in Camden, New Jersey, you'll see, like, 50 or 60 of them just all laid up on one side of the wreck.
Yeah, that's we used to fish out of Cape May, New Jersey, and fish for those offshore wrecks or those inshore wrecks. And I'll tell you what, it just depends on the day and the time, and you know, that can be extremely effective fishing, that's for sure.
Yep.
So we have a caller, Steve. Hang on there a minute, and we're going to put. Is Steve locked in? Okay, we're going to put Don on with you. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Hey, great. That spot in Ocean City, that bulkhead on the Bayside, what a great place. We've caught those black bass, and what we've tried to do is, because as the caller said, as your guest said, you lose a lot of tackle there.
Yeah.
So we try to put a float so that when you pull on your line, you pull straight up as opposed to pulling like horizontally when you're fishing off of a bank. So the bait actually comes straight up, as opposed to, you know, coming horizontally.
Now, so you put a float on the line use a sliding rig on that float? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, it's actually fixed. You try to estimate the
depth. Okay.
So you put your hook at the bottom and put like a split shot.
Yeah.
Maybe a foot up, and then when you cast out.
The bait hangs. The bait hangs
too far out because the fish are right there along the bulkhead. But
yeah,
it's really funny when you see people that they drive up, they get out of the car, they walk across the parking lot, they throw their line out, and boom, they get snagged right away.
Yeah,
try it again, they get snagged again. But I think it's a great spot though, but because you can catch, like you said, all kinds of fish. And,
sure. Cool.
We just have a great time there.
Got it.
Watching the other people get snagged.
Yeah, of course. And of course, Steve has scuba gear, right? Steve, you go out there and you collect all those rigs and all those baits and stuff a couple times a year, right, Steve?
You're breaking up.
I said. Don said about the people getting snagged up at the bulkhead, casting out there pretty far. And I said, you have scuba gear, so you go out at the end of the bulkhead and go collect all those rigs every couple
yeah,
months.
I wish I'm always praying for some clean water so I can go down there. They're off of my pier on Worcester Street. I bet there's probably 100 pounds of sinkers in there.
Probably so.
There, just never seems
it's
to come up good enough to get in there.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think about what Don said there, Steve? He uses a bobber to fish kind of straight down there off that bulkhead.
That's interesting. I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah. So rather than, you know, pulling against the current or whatever, doing a horizontal reel or, you know, line reeling your line in, you're coming straight up and down, which is pretty interesting.
Good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. So very good, Don. I appreciate the call.
We enjoy the show. We're actually listening up in Massachusetts this morning.
Ah, well, thank you very much.
Taunton River, they're up here catching stripers.
They're catching strappers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, got it. Did you hear our caller last week from New Zealand?
I did. See that? It's a worldwide.
I am an international radio celebrity, huh?
There you go.
Yeah, now look, that's the furthest away we've had a call from New Zealand. We have had a call from a buddy of mine that went on vacation to Argentina and also British Columbia. So we've taken calls from Canada, South America, and New Zealand. So, you know,
well, I finally found a bait shop a tackle shop in St. Croix, the Virgin Islands.
Good for you. Congratulations.
See you later.
All right, Don. Take care. See you, buddy. There he goes. All right. Steve, you still with me?
I am.
All right. We're going to take another short commercial break, and we're going to go from there to the offshore angling opportunities. Maybe we'll touch on the inshore shark fishing, if you can tell us about that a little bit, okay?
Okay, that'd be great.
All right. Hang in there. We're going to talk about our buddies down at Papa John's Farm. I stopped there the other day. I'll tell you what. They're busy. Summer is the time, and the reason they're busy is they've got good stuff and good prices. Summer's the time for picnics and family get-togethers, even camping trips, and summer's the corn on the cob. Boy, that's my favorite. Steamed crabs, fresh tomatoes. Summer is not complete without cold, juicy melons as well. You know, the Schellinger family at Papa John's Farm, they like to steam their crabs with corn on the cob for a great family dinner. Now, look, they don't sell crabs, but this is a tip for you to go get some corn. If you're having steamed crabs, put them in the pot. Just put the corn cobs right in the pot with the crab steamers. Put your seasoning on the corn. Get them out of there. Slather some butter on there with some crab seasoning. Oh, my goodness. Hot corn with crab spice. You can't believe it. If you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, go to Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super sweet corn they grow themselves, and their homegrown tomatoes and peppers and everything else is ready. Their squash, zucchini, onions, green beans, cucumbers, mouthwatering cantaloupes, and those sweet watermelons. Papa John's Farm, located off I-97, that's exit 12. The exit is New Cut Road, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn, if you're going there by GPS. Phone number, 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday through Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number is 969-8810, 410-969-8810. Visit the Schellinger family, Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Hey, don't forget about Clyde Sports Shop. If you need any kind of bait for fishing or crabbing, they've got it right there at Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They've got crab bait. They've got fishing bait. They've got frozen bait. They've got live bait. They've got minnows and shiners. You name it, they've got it. And it's all a good thing for fishermen and crabbers for sure. Now, look, they also have rod and reel repair. They've got the gunsmithing. And I will tell you, in this day and age, you might want to consider a firearm for personal protection or for protecting your home and property. Clyde Sports Shop can walk you through the process, whether you want a handgun, whether you want a modern sporting rifle, or whatever it might be. You may even just want a 20-gauge pump shotgun to help you out. They've got all of that and more. Stop by and check them out for their full line of firearms, especially from the Browning Firearms folks for hunting and sporting clays and that type of thing. Clyde Sports Shop, www.clydesports.com, two S's in the middle, 410-242-6108. 24-hour fishing hotline number is 410-247-3474. That's 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop Fishing Line. Hey, Maryland's Upper Eastern Shore has a rich tradition for dove and waterfowl, deer and turkey hunting, and now you can hunt over a dozen Upper Shore farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership, like I did, and hunt all season long, or call about guided day hunts with Upper Bay Gun Club, or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Give Tom a call at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Les Consolving. Join me every Sunday night, 10 to 1, for Uninhibited Radio on Talk Radio 688 WCBM.
Cakes and rockfish too. We thanked the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his voice, the way he makes his living. I'm talking about the man, talking about the water man. I'm talking about the man.
All right, talking about the water man. Well, we get to meet a lot of those in the day's time, that's for sure. Let's talk to Steve Doctor in Ocean City, our biologist of Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. And here in the last segment, Steve, we'll talk a little bit about the big game fishing. I know a number of years ago we did a little inshore shark fishing trip, and that's a lot of fun, with Mark Sampson, and I know you know Mark.
Yep.
And, you know, tell us a little bit about that, and then let's move offshore a bit, because we've got the big tuna tournaments and the shark tournaments and the big white marlin open coming up, big tourist attractions, and attract a lot of first-class, world-class fishermen from around the world to Ocean City for the white marlin open, because there's a lot of money at stake.
So Angel Willie and Mark Sampson, Angel's our premier shark biologist. They just completed a paper that was published in Fisheries Journal, Fisheries Management, and it was compared circle hooks to straight hooks, and they showed that you get a better hooking rate and a better release rate with using circle hooks. So I'm really proud of them. They did some great work there. They did a two-year study.
Wow.
You get a better hook up with a circle hook, and then you get less deep hooking. So
let's encourage this. Yeah, let's talk to those folks here in the spring. Maybe we could get some excerpts from that for the spring issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, where we focus on fishing as well.
That would be great.
Let's do that. That's for sure. So, all right. Yeah. Well, that's correct. That's great, because the circle hooks, like you mentioned, for some types of fishing like tautog and so forth, they're not going to be that good. But you're mostly going to keep those tautog anyway, unless they're, you know, way undersized. But for the sharks now and for striped bass, the circle hook is the thing. Wonderful to hear.
Good. Bait fishing.
Say again.
For bait fishing, you want to use a circle hook.
Right. So you're not killing the shark if you want to release it. Absolutely.
So I went tuna fishing a couple of weeks ago, and like we were catching really small yellowfins, and all the big ones we hooked were eaten by sharks, so we switched over to shark fishing, and then right away we caught these huge hammerheads.
Really? Hammerheads?
Yeah, I mean, one after another after another, and then we moved 20 miles to see if we get a mako, and we caught more hammerheads, so they were just thick out there.
We've got a lot of hammerheads off Ocean City. How far out were you, Steve?
We were at the Washington. We were 60 miles.
60 miles out on the Washington Canyon. Hammerhead sharks. Wow, that's tremendous.
Have you ever eaten one?
Yeah.
You ate one?
No, I've never eaten hammerhead. Are they good?
I don't know. We're trying to get somebody to eat one. We keep throwing them back because everybody's scared to eat them.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll be more than glad to be your guinea pig. You get me one and get me a couple of cuts, and we'll talk about that. I'll come and meet you and get some shark fillets. We'll do them on the grill. We'll do them on the broiler. We'll do them any way we possibly can.
Take your girl out to a nice hammerhead dinner, huh?
I would love that. I would love that. I'm sure she's listening. She could probably weigh in on the text if she'd want to try and be the guinea pig on hammerhead shark, because she's a gourmet cook, and I'll tell you what, she can do it right. So
maybe we got something there. We keep throwing them back.
All right, just don't send us any rays or any cow nose rays or southern stingrays. We'll try the hammerhead first.
Okay.
All right. So if you decide you want to harvest one, let me know and I'll help you eat it. How's that sound?
I don't know. I'm scared to kill one, to be honest with you.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd kill one either, quite frankly. You know, a mako maybe. Yeah.
The tuna tournament started yesterday.
Okay. Let's talk about it real quick.
And the first place is the Sea Slammer with 182-pound big eye.
Okay, big guys are usually ranked right up there in that tuna tournament, so they
do. And the Espadon has the highest stringer. They got five big guys that weigh a combined 398 pounds.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, so it's being dominated by big guys this year again, like it did last year. And there's a few yellowfins and a few bluefins mixed in on other categories.
I only ever caught one tuna in my life. I only ever tuna fished one time in my life. I caught a nice big bluefin. Well, a nice bluefin, I guess, maybe 60-pound or something like that. Wore me out. You know,
they're fun.
Yeah, stand up fishing on butterfish, and it just wore me out. But I'll tell you what, it was a lot of fun. I'll never forget it. So, but okay, so you got the tuna tournament going on. The shark tournament is come and gone.
Yeah, they got a lot of the shark fishing's been extraordinary this year.
Right,
and they got a lot of makos this year, and they got their threshers too.
Right, we had.
We saw a lot of threshers when we were at sea bass fishing this spring.
We had a bachelor party going out on a shark fishing trip a couple of weeks ago, and they got blown out and didn't get to make it, so they had to reschedule with Captain Mark. So that's going to be fun this year when they finally get to go.
Yeah, that's a great educational experience fishing with him. He's fantastic. He's got some great shark ID stuff on his webpage.
Okay, good.
He's got videos with each of the different kinds of sharks.
Oh, that's very cool. I got some photos of him on our trip. He tagged probably 9 of the 15 sharks we caught inshore. They were all duskies and sand tigers, or not sand. Yeah. Is that right? Sand tigers or sandbar?
Sandbar
sharks, yes. Really nice fish. Big chunks of tuna, and up close and personal. We fished them on the kite. We fished them on the bottom. We fished them on balloons. And a total experience. It was great a few years back.
Yeah, so, Mark's an amazing fisherman.
Yes, he is. No question about it. So, very nice. Okay, the big one. We only a couple minutes left. White Marlin Open. When's that coming up?
It's the second week of August.
Okay. Second week of all.
You know, that's pretty much a variety pack. It's pretty fun to go to the scales. You get your blue marlins, white marlins, all kinds of tunas, big dolphin.
Okay. But primarily they're trolling for these with the offshore trolling baits and whatever type of rig you want to use. They've got the squids and the daisy chains and the whole deal out there, and that's a whole world that I'm not all that familiar with or can qualify to talk about, but the guys that do it know what they're doing for the most part, don't they?
Yeah, it's a trolling only tournament, and most of the baits are rigged ballyhoo. Sometimes they put a skirt on them, or sometimes they leave them naked. But it's a trolling only tournament.
Right. Okay. But it's a bait tournament as well. You're allowed to use bait, not just artificials.
That's correct. And those guys will go out to the canyons pretty much. That's where they fish at.
Of course, of course. And so last year we had a pretty decent marlin take the tournament, didn't we?
What was that?
A good-sized marlin take the tournament last year.
Yeah, every year the marlin is like between 80 and 90 pounds.
That's a big marlin, that's for sure. So
yeah, white.
Yep, gotcha. So, all right, well, let's wrap it up, Steve. We've got a variety of fishing opportunities from standing on the bulkhead to the bridge to trolling to drifting the back bays for flounder to fishing inshore, offshore. I mean, it's just a tremendous fishery down there in Ocean City.
Yeah, there's lots of things to do, that's for sure, if you like to fish.
Sure, exactly. We never even touched about surf fishing off the Ocean City there, but would you recommend Assateague or somewhere along the beach?
I think it doesn't matter where you go. I mean, as long as you can find like a little eddy or something, you can go anywhere along the beach and catch fish.
Okay. And
don't forget the clamming either.
Oh, we got some great clamming and crabbing too, that's for sure.
Yep.
Got it. Yep. So, if I decide to bring my surf rod to Ocean City, where would you find a spot like you're talking about?
Well, the beauty of Assateague is there's less people, so you can fish all day long.
Right.
If you go down further, but I'm not much of a surf fisherman, but from what I understand, anywhere where the water looks a little bit disheveled, it looks different than anywhere else. That's
right.
Usually the best place to go.
Okay. So, but you don't have a hot spot down there on the beach, Ocean City. Just Assateague is probably worth the trip.
Yeah, or the higher streets in Ocean City, a lot of people surf fish at too, like up around 30, yep. 130, 140.
Gotcha. Very good. Well, believe it or not, we've come to the end of the show here, Steve. The music's going to start here momentarily, and we want to thank you for weighing in and giving us some good tips on fishing in Ocean City, and hopefully we'll have a chance to fish with you one of these days.
Okay, I got a couch waiting for you.
Oh, great, buddy. Appreciate that.
Okay, you take care.
All right, you have a great weekend. Appreciate you joining us. There he goes, Steve Doctor. From Ocean City, fisheries biologist with Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. And he is gone, and we are going to be going here shortly. So I'm going to say that it's time for you to get out, stay safe, and...